Philip Johnson, of course, quoted him before, but he's, of course, a professor of law at Cal Berkeley. And in an article in Christianity Today, it was in October a couple of years ago, he said this, dealing with this subject. He said, the primary issue is whether God created us at all. He says, the naturalist says, and when he says naturalist, he's meaning the evolutionist, says that our Creator was not an all-knowing and loving God, but a combination of chance events and personal natural laws. Well, this is the key summary statement. How did we come about? All-powerful God created us in His image, or an evolutionary process and chance events? As we continue to study, this is what we want to deal with. We want to look at these ideas. In fact, how we view, whether it's creation or let me put it this way, some different ways of looking at creation, or whether it's an evolutionary deal, it's going to affect how we look at different things, our world and our God and ourselves and all of those things. There are three ways you can really look at this. Number one, you can hold to evolution. A person who would say, no, there's not a God, or God didn't do anything. It's just by chance, and that over millions of years, really, we might even say billions of years, over long periods of time, things just came about. Things just, there was somehow something was out there, and it became more and more complex, and it became cells or something, and it became something living from inorganic to organic, and before you know it was this and this. And then over long, long, long periods of time, it evolved up until we're the top of the list. And that if we could see it, we're evolving. It's just going so slow you can't see it. That's one view. Then there's a second that holds to the Bible, and holds to the aspect of creation, and says, I'm going to look at the Bible in a sense, in a literal aspect of it. And when we look at the Bible, we say that the world was created in 6 days. God said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be this. And we look at it that way. There's another view that, and they're good people that hold to a creation, but they hold to it a little bit differently. They might hold to a much older earth, and they would not necessarily hold to the 6 days of creation. They might say that there were long time periods. There are some that say that it's evolution all the way, that what happened is every now and then God, that's called a theistic evolutionist, that God would start things out. He might create this, and then he'd leave it alone for a long period of time, and as it evolved upward, every now and then he might step in and do something. Or that some would just hold the fact that he just kind of started it and he just lets it go, and in his plan, it is an evolutionary process over a long period of time. The bottom line, when you get back to study something like this, we're going to hold as our source of authority the Word of God. And so we can quote Henry Morris, or we can quote other people, we can quote famous scientists, we can quote other things. But the bottom line in this class, when we come back to trying to figure out what we actually hold to, we're going to come back to what we see the Bible saying, the best that we can interpret it. Some people interpret the Bible in different ways. We all know that. But we interpret it from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation. That's how we look at the Bible. Historical means you look at it in historical context. Literal means you take the words to mean what they say. And grammatical is you see how they fit in the sentences. You see how it fits together. And that's how we interpret the Scripture at Countryside. So we're going to look at that. Let me remind you of the outline of our study. This is the main outline to it. That's not the... You've got the outline of the original... Yeah, we just started with creation, evolution, and we've looked at evolution, and we looked at the different types, and then we looked at some problems there. Now today, we're really looking at creation. We're going to give a definition. We're going to do some comparison, and as we look at that, we're going to keep going, and we're going to see how it affects our views, and then I don't know if we'll get to it today or not, but we're going to begin to look at some of the areas that there are really problems, where people want to say, is there a gap or no gap in Genesis? Were there days or ages? I'm going to mention some things about it. What about dinosaurs? Were they before men or with men? Was there a world existing long before man was ever put on the earth, and dinosaurs and animals and all of that kind of thing? Or were dinosaurs with men, and are dinosaurs found in the Scripture? I mean, can you find them? And then as we keep going, we'll just talk about the flood. That was an important thing, because there are people who hold to a worldwide flood, or was it just a local flood? And how did the fossils fit in? And did Noah have an ark, and did he actually put all the animals on there? I mean, how is this true, or is this just some myth that we've always heard about? How do these things fit? And then I think the very last part of our study is we'll look at man and how that ties together. And bottom line, it goes back to how do you view yourself? And how do we view man? What's the value of man? And then our summary. So that's going to be our study as we look at it. Over the last few weeks, let me just kind of give you a running start. We looked at evolution. We looked at the different types of evolution, macroevolution and microevolution. We looked at the different ways of looking at evolution, whether it's a progressive creationist or a theistic evolutionist. We looked at creation and evolution and different things. We said that one of the problems, that if you look at it from an evolutionary problem or an evolutionary view, you'll look at God and you'll say, actually, there is no God. If you hold evolution, there's not really a God. And that what this, if there's going to be anything that's eternal, the world is what's eternal. Something was out there. There's really no, can't go back to a beginning. There was something out there and it just, you know, came. And man is just the highest form of animal. The world is actually getting better and evolving, because that's what we've seen forever. That's just what they'd say. And then the Bible is good stories. There's a myth. I love my oldest sister. She's an anthropologist. She got a PhD from Tulane. She's in California and teaches in a college there. And I love her to death. And she would say, look, JB, what you have, it's myths. It's, every culture has their myths, and whether it's the Incas or the Aztecs or the Jews or something, it's just folk stories. And that's the way she looks at it. And there are a lot of people that would say, listen, you got to understand there's not a God. It just happened over long, 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 long periods of time. We're just the top of the cycle. And if we could see it, it would just be changing more and more. We just can't see it. And all that. Now, that's the view of the evolutionist. Now, we don't take that view, of course. We go back to the scripture and we believe that God created. And when we think about creation, as I've said, there's different ways that there are a lot of people who call themselves creationists, but they don't look at it in exact. The only problem, let me just say this, there are a lot of great people who hold the Bible maybe in a different way, but the problem is they're not really going back to the scripture to get what they say. And so I think if you go back to the scripture, what do we see in the Bible? And that's the bottom line we have to look at. Let's start with the idea of creation, and you put that slide up that gives us a definition. What exactly is creation? You can go past that. Just go to the one that we started with that you put on at the first while ago. Creation. What is creation? Here's our definition. God the Creator, by His divine act, brought all things into existence out of nothing by His spoken word. Now that's what we call the act of creation. That's it, where God spoke it into being. And if you think about Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, and God said, let there be light. Now, you're in Exodus 20, and we've looked at this verse 2 to 3 times, but I want you to see it because I think it's a foundational verse. If you take the Bible in a literal way, it's a foundational verse. Look at Exodus 20, just go back to verse 8 again. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you remember in Exodus, the nation of Israel had come out of Egypt by His grace. He'd taken them out, part of the Red Sea, brought them to Mount Sinai, brought Moses basically up on top of the mountain. He's coming back with commandments, information for His people. Now, this is the first time this has been written down. It's not the first time they've had this information. And things have been passed down from Adam and Eve and to Noah and to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to Joseph and all the people. There was not written revelation all the way up and basically till Moses, because the best we can understand from the scriptures is that Moses wrote the first 5 books, the Torah, the law. This is what we have here. So it's not that all of a sudden this is the first time they've ever heard any of these things. It's the first time they're being written down. He's given them the commands, and notice what He says. This is to set them apart, but notice, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sabbath day, Saturday. He said, I want you to set that day apart. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Now, I'm guarantee you that when it says 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, they understood that it meant 6 days. That it meant a Sunday, a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday. 6 days you shall work. On the seventh, the Sabbath day, Saturday, they're going to rest. They understood that. They're saying, we got you. 6 days, rest of the seventh. But why did He say do that? Because I'm going to say, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God. Is you shall not do any work, your son, your daughter, your male, your female slave, any cattle, anything you do. Why? Why should I tell you, work 6 days, rest on the seventh? For in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now I'm going to tell you, I know a lot of people want to say those are long periods of time. I can't get that from the scripture. I mean, if I wanted to try to match things up with some other writings of some scholarly scientists, I might say, okay, here's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to say that they told him work 6 days, rest on the seventh, because he worked 6 long periods of time and rested on the seventh. I don't think they would have read that way at all. And I still have not found anywhere, whether it's in the Bible or outside in Jewish writings using Hebrew, that when you put a cardinal or a numeral adjective with a day, first day, second day, third day, or 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, that it means a literal day. And I think when he says you're going to work 6 days and rest on the seventh, for God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, I think he's telling them that he did it in 6 days. That's what it says. Now, you don't have to hold to that. That's up to you. You can do anything. You go back, you do your own scholarly study and do everything you can. But when I read the Hebrew, and I've had 4 or 5 semesters of Hebrew, when I read the Hebrew there, I think it says 6 literal days. Now, the other people, you say, well, I know a Jewish scholar that says it's not 6 days. That's okay. That's up to you. You study whatever you want. Yes?
On the word day,
Yom. There's a Hebrew word, my mind just went blank on what it is. I'll think of it in just a second. That means on and on and on. I've forgotten it. I can't remember it right this second. No, this is the word Yom, Y-O-M, like Yom Kippur, day of covering. This is the word. And so he says, 6 days you will labor and work. 7th day, and they thought, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then why? Because in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth and all that. And that's how we look at it. I think it says, now notice, God created the heavens and the earth. He says God made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. If you go to Genesis, and if you would, just flip over to Genesis 1. This is where we get back to see that. Because if you notice, Genesis chapter 1 uses something that's pretty unusual. And it's a Jewish way of doing something. It's a Hebrew way of doing something. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word there is bara, which means literally to make out of nothing. It is never used of a human being. That word does not mean, no human being creates, not in that way. There's a different word for form and to make and those kind of things. But the word bara is always used of God in the scripture. So it says, in the beginning, God created. And as we said on our definition, and you don't have to put it back up, but our definition is that God created out of nothing. God, an act by which he spoke all things into being. You remember the Hebrews passage that says that God, we believe that God created all things out of nothing. In Psalm 148, it talks about that. We'll get to that in just a second. But if I just want you to see one thing, and we're going to get into a lot more detail on the day-age thing in probably a couple of lessons, but I just want you to see something. At verse 5, God called the light day and the darkness called night, and the evening and the morning were one day. If a Jewish person wanted to make sure you realized it was a day, he would say evening and morning. Because that's how they viewed their days. Evening, morning, that's a day. And so on purpose, two different things he puts here to show us it's a day. He says evening and morning, first day, second day, third day, fourth day. You go back to the book of Exodus and it says 6 days. And he rested on the seventh day. So if you're looking at it in Hebrew, you're understanding. Now, if God was wanting to fool us, I mean, he could have said, I'm going to tell them it's 6 days, but I'm going to make it long time periods. But I'm going to tell you, the understanding of Hebrew is that's 6 days. That's the evening and morning of day one, evening and morning of day two, evening and morning of day three. Go to Psalm 148. I want you to see something else. Notice what's listed in Psalm 148 as he starts off. Praise the Lord. Let me give everybody a chance to get there. I go too fast sometimes. I like 148 because it's praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him all his angels. Praise him all his hosts. Praise him sun and moon. Praise him all the stars of light. Praise him in the highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? For he commanded and they were created. He has established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. Creation. In Genesis 1, and we won't turn back there, but in Genesis 1 it says, and God said, And God said, verse 3, and God said, verse 6, and God said, verse 9, He spoke it into being. Now what we have is an all-powerful God who spoke everything into existence. That's the way it is. Creation is an act of God that He brought into existence by His power. Now, how we see it, I think there's... Is there another slide right after this one? I can't remember what we got. Okay. We're going to look at the five aspects. Because you remember we talked about how in evolution you try to go back to a beginning, but there's not a beginning. And you look at this upward development in that, and there's a change. And go ahead, go to the next slide. These five, there was time and there was man. So flip it back. When we look at evolution, we said, well, first of all, the beginning is... Well, as far back as you can go, somehow there was something there. That's how they do begin, because you got to have something to begin to form and move upward. We talked about moving upward. They talked about how things are progressing from a state of disorder to order. That's what the evolutionists would say. As far as change is concerned, they would say that there is macroevolution, which means a change from one species to another over long, long periods of time, and man is just the top thing. Let's look at it from a creation view. Okay, from the creation view, when we look at the beginning, we go right back to the Bible. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were created out of the unseen, meaning the things that weren't there. And we just saw those verses that God spoke it into being. So in the very beginning, if you go all the way back, there is the creation. Hebrews 11:3, all things out of nothing. Genesis 1:1, He made, He created. The evolutionist says there has to be something there. How it got there, don't know. Or the universe is eternal. Now, there are a lot of people who would say, I just think this existence is eternal. And that's really what God is. I would disagree with that. I would say that God is eternal and that at a point in time, we don't know when, but at a point in time, He spoke it all into being. This is the beginning. Whether it was some kind of big bang, as some people say, He spoke it into being. Things were created out of nothing. There's a second aspect, and for the evolutionist, it's an upward development, that things are going from a state of disorder to order. Things are going from least complex to more and more complex. Things are going from one cell to two cells to five cells to inorganic to organic. But when you see the scripture, you don't really see that. In fact, you see the opposite. In Romans 5, it says that sin entered the world and death by sin, and death passed upon all. And what we find in the Bible is that the world is going from a state of order to disorder. That things are going the opposite direction, not going upward, but going downward. We're in a fallen world. We always talk about we live in a fallen world. Are things getting better or are they getting worse? We'd say, well, things are getting worse and worse and worse. And we talk about all these laws. And let me tell you, I don't even claim to be a scientist or know all about first and second laws of thermodynamics and how all that fits together. I know some things. I mean, my second teaching field in college was biology and science. And so I know just a touch, but I don't know very much. I know the Bible. I know what the Bible has to say. Henry Morris talks about the laws of thermodynamics and talks about the first law. And he says this. He says the first law is in the real process is the total of matter and energy stays constant, even though it frequently changes form. He says that. He says the second law notes that the quality of any system, its usefulness, its complexity, its information value always tends to decrease. In living organisms, true vertical change goes down, not up. And he talks about that. He goes on down a little bit. And the bottom line is, that's exactly what you see in our world system. You see things getting worse and not better. You see things in a state of fallenness. Let me remind you of some things that if we hold to the Bible, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth, all this in 6 days, and He put man on the earth. And He put him to have dominion over the earth. And there was not death. There was not sin. And then when man rebelled, and if you remember in Genesis 3, when man rebelled, immediately sin entered the world and what? Death by sin. Now, there was a spiritual death immediately. There's going to be physical death following. And to when he brought man and Adam and Eve, or her name wasn't Eve at that time yet, but when he brought them back to himself and said, I'm going to provide for you the seed of woman who will crush the head of the serpent, what did he do to emphasize the fact of the cost of sin? He killed an animal. I believe that was the first animal that they ever saw die. I don't believe there was death for years and years and years and years. Why? Because Romans 5:12 says, as through one man sin entered the world and death by sin, death passed upon all for all sinned. I don't believe that there was the death of animals and people before the fall. I just don't think there was. That's how I look at the scripture. You may hold it in a different way and say, well, I think there was. That's fine. You can do that. I don't see it that way. I see Romans 5, Paul's point in Romans 5 is to show that in Adam came sin and in sin came death. That's how he looks at it. So that's how I look at it. Now, do you remember when he gave the consequences out? And he started with the serpent and he said, boy, you're in trouble. He said, first of all, you're going to go on your belly from this point on and you're going to get crushed. I will crush the head of the serpent by the seed of woman. And then he turned to the woman and said, guess what? It's going to hurt to have babies. And you're going to desire to rule over your husband. That was part of the fall. Sometimes look at that. And then to the man, he said, well, first of all, you're going to have to earn your living by the what? So what, he said, the world's not going to be the same as it was. Because, see, up to this point in time, you've been going to this garden and going, yep, pretty good stuff. No weeds. Wasn't a fallen world. It wasn't a corrupt world. From that point on, it's a corrupt, fallen world. Let me read something to you. You can either turn there or you can just listen. This is Romans chapter 8. Listen to what he says about our system, our world. Is it in a state of getting better and better, or is it a state of getting worse and worse? Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the suffering in this present time is not even worthy to compare with the glory that's going to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation... The anxious longing of the creation? What's wrong with the creation? For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the Son of God. You know why? Because the creation is fallen. And one of these days when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to make a what? A new heaven and a new earth. That's what he says. Now, that's what he goes on to say. For this creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. The creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groans and suffers until now. What is he talking about? It's a fallen world. The world's not getting better and better and better. It's in a state of disorder. It's going down. Let me tell you, the truth is, and you know this, you go out in the woods and you see rocks in a circle, you don't think that just happened. You say somebody's been out here because you could put those rocks in a circle and come back in a year and they're not in a circle anymore. And you just leave your car in the garage for a year and a half and see what happens to it. Things go from order to disorder, not disorder to order. We live in a fallen world. Now, there are different little deals and things change, and sometimes things look like they're getting... But as a whole, it is a fallen world system in corruption. And that's what we see from the Scripture. And it's the contrary to the other view. Now, there is death and decay, and it's ongoing. The third thing is the change. To change from one species to another, there still has never been any evidence of any kind of an animal changing to another kind. There are changes within species, and we call those adaptations and things. Fruit flies are still fruit flies, and moths are still moths, and things are still frogs and that. But there's not something going from one dog to something else. From a gorilla type thing to a human being, there is no forms there. There would be millions of these forms. There would be millions of things if there was that evolutionary process. But what you find from the Scripture is just what it says in Genesis 1. He created all the animals according to their what? To their kind. And if you read in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, there is a flesh of birds, a flesh of animals, and a flesh of man. Meaning that birds are certain things, and animals are certain things, and man is a certain thing. And there are different kinds of everything. And that'd be like the species. That'd be that God made different things in different ways. That takes us to the fourth thing. And this is the one where people have trouble, and that's time. There are a lot of brilliant people who say, JB, all of the stuff, I mean, it's old. It's millions of, it looks so old. Well, let me tell you what, it does look old. It doesn't mean it's that old. It just looks old. I think in the creation there is built in time. Let me tell you what I mean by that. When God created the heavens and the earth, and he made the mountains, how long did it take him to make those mountains? A second? He spoke it into being, didn't he? And when you get to the day when he said he put the plants and the trees on there and he made the animals and he made man, how long did it take him to make that? If you believe the Bible, he spoke it into existence. Now, let me ask you something. Let's pretend we're on the earth and God makes Adam right there. How old did he look? Perfect age, 53? I mean, is that how old he looked, right? I mean, if we saw him created, he wasn't a baby. He didn't go crawling around. I mean, there he is. He created the man. How old did he look? 53. Yes, he looked 53 in the perfect age. And think about it. He created when he made the mountains, how old did they look? You look at a mountain, you go, boy, that thing's been there millions of years. You know, I just made it. And he made the trees just like that. When you looked at the tree, did it look like, well, that's about a second old tree? Or no, that's a 200-year-old tree. There is age automatically built into the creation. It looks old. So when people say, well, it is old, look at it. It looks old. And then last but not least, man. Are we some type of chance thing? That over the periods of years and years and years and years and years and years and years, we're just the highest form of some evolutionary thing? Or are we made in the image of God? Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image. He created him. He gave him rule and dominion over the earth. You know, from the day that he created man, he didn't say, now after I've brought you up to a certain place, I'm going to put you in a position on this earth. He never says that. He said, let us make man in our image, just like that. And he spoke it into being. He actually got down there and made it. Genesis 2:7 says, and he breathed in man the breath of life, and man became a living nephesh in the Hebrew, soul. Didn't say that about animals. He didn't say they had the nephesh. He didn't say they were in the same way. He made man unique. He made man the top of all. He didn't say, you're going to evolve up from something below you. And when you get to a certain point, I'll just kind of stop the process and kind of jump on in there. Because see, there are people who say it's an evolutionary process. And when it got to a sort about where we are now, he just stopped in and said, okay, I'm going to stop the system. I'm going to give him a soul. I'm going to let him go on from here. That's not what it says. The truth is, in the creation evolution model, evolution doesn't really fit. You can't find a beginning. It doesn't look like things are going upward. It actually looks like they're going downward. They've not found any fossils or anything to show these in-between systems. It's not necessarily old. I mean, a lot of people say, well, how are you going to explain the age? I say the age is in the creation. And man is different from animals. I mean, you think about it. God started it. There are kinds of animals. There is the state of a fallen world that's going down and not up. There is the built-in time, and man is the crown of the creation. Now, we're going to stop it just a second. How does creation affect the way we view? How does creation affect the way we view God? Evolution says there is no God. Creation says that God is all-powerful being who loves us beyond we can imagine and spoke everything in existence. Evolution says that man is the highest form of some type of animal thing and we're forming onto something else. The Bible says in the creation model that Jesus Christ, that we're created in the image of God and that we're fallen and we need a Savior. And God saved us through Jesus Christ and He's placed us to rule over His creation. When the world, under the evolutionary model, the world is becoming better and better and there's a movement upward from disorder to order. In the Bible, you almost see it the opposite. There's a world that is cursed, that is fallen, and going the opposite direction. And the evolutionists would look at the Bible and say, it's your stories. We would say, the Bible is the Word of God. It is the accurate account. People always say this, that, well, you know, when you start talking about creation or evolution, they're both theories. And I'll say, yeah, they're theories in the sense of the theory of creation, the theory of evolution, because we can't do them again. Some people say, well, if we just were there, then we'd know. I said, well, somebody was there. That's God. He's the one that was there and did it. And so He's given us His revelation. So I'm going to tell you in a nice way that I'm going to hold to the Scripture. I'm going to believe that God is the Creator and He spoke us into being. And I'm going to say that He did it in 6 days. You can hold to something different. That's up to you and that's fine. And that doesn't mean you don't believe the Bible. It just means you're not taking it in the way I look at those passages. And I believe that there is a built-in time thing when you want to worry about it. And I think the most important thing that ties this thing for me is how in the world are you going to have millions of years of death of animals and eating and all this, and then man being put on the earth when God says sin and death did not enter this world until Adam sinned. So those are some things that I look at. Let me give you some applications to think about. understand the difference between creation and evolution and what the real issues are. How does it affect our view of God? Understand how it affects your view of God and the Bible and man and all of those kind of things. And the goal is study the Scripture, look at it the best you can, and then be convinced in your mind the best that you can see from the Scripture and how you want to put it together. Let me pray and open up for questions on anything. And I know we don't have much time, but we'll be back next week. We'll go on some more because we're going to hit some other big areas as well. Heavenly Father, when we think about these truths, help us to understand it, Lord. There's so much here. And that when we think about time and man and the creation and how it all happened in the beginning and how does our world look, going up or going down, how does all this work, help us, Lord, to go back to the Scripture to see the best that we can see from the Bible. Lord, we know that there are brilliant people that you've put on this earth who say things and have studied things and look at things, and they're not necessarily looking at your Scripture. And so, Lord, I think the best place to go is your Word. And thank you, Lord, for brilliant people who know a lot of things. But, Lord, may we look at the Scripture to see the best that we can see on what you told us from your Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.